Coffee Conversations with Sinti is brought to you by influencer marketing specialists, The Salt, inspiring positive brand conversations.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations with Sinti. And as usual, I've got a very special guest today in the studio. Sir, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Sinti. My name's Kevin Kirby.
How are you, Kevin? Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
What do you do? Who are you in a nutshell, if that's possible?
Yeah, I know, it's a pretty big nutshell, old nutshell. I'm Kevin Kirby. I'm actually a consultant here. I consult across a variety of different businesses within the Infinity Group.
Okay.
But I'm also have a shareholding in some of these businesses. So I have a stake in the business, direct stake in the business, but then, as I said, consult to them as well.
Okay.
My background is media and marketing for the most part.
All right.
Long before things like podcasts were possible, I was already working.
So, okay.
Yeah. And been involved in the industry for over 30 years now, I suppose.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, today this interview is a huge red herring, because we normally just talk exclusively about influencer marketing, but today we want to talk about employee advocacy.
Okay.
What is it? In fact, before you even go there, I remember back then, well, that makes me old, I guess, when I was still in corporate, you were urged to always portray a positive front of the brand that you worked for. How did we migrate from that into something structured or a structure as employee advocacy? Maybe that should be the second part of your response.
Okay, so let's start with the good old days.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, yes, certainly you were always asked to look professional and wear a tie and a suit and all those things, which we've fortunately moved on from for the most part.
Thank God.
But what was also true in that circumstance was that you were, when you pitched up at corporate, you signed all your documents, and one of those documents that you signed was a 14-page document saying that you may not speak to anybody in the media about anything that the brand does or does. Only the big guy in the grey suit in the corner office was allowed to. Otherwise, you'll be fired.
You know? Yeah, so exactly.
That was always part of the corporate requirement, if you like. And what's changed, though, is that now with social media, and this goes back to your question, if you like, or the broader discussion around influencer marketing, where social media, the prevalence of the internet, the availability of devices like smartphones and so on in allowing us to at any time on the moment connect with other people.
Yeah.
That's what's really brought about the growth of influencer marketing. Marketing, by the way, has always been around since the dark ages. Previously, it was just a conversation, though. So it was a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah.
So the greengrocer on the corner used to spend a lot of time talking to his customers, talking to them about things, telling them how much better his fruit was or his vegetables were than the guys next door.
Yeah.
Likewise, you as a customer tell your friends and so on. And that influencer marketing, word-of-mouth marketing, has been around forever. Social media has just allowed us to really escalate that to the point where we are able to have that communication, if you like, with a much wider group of people simultaneously.
Exactly.
So where it used to be maybe a one-to-one conversation, now we have a one-to-many conversation.
Yeah.
I think importantly, though, that you've covered this in some of your previous conversations, there are different types of influencer marketing on the one-to-many conversations.
Yeah.
You'll have those celebrities, for example, who do more of a broadcast. So if I'm using a new perfume and I happen to be Richard Gere, I tell everyone how great the perfume is.
Exactly.
There's no two-way communication, it's a broadcast. Yeah. But he does have influence in that regard, because people aspire to be like him, I suppose. And then obviously in the brand influencer space, which is a little bit, if you like, lower down, common people like you and me, where we are able to talk to our own tribes, our own people. And that allows a much more of a two-way communication to happen, which means that if I say to you, listen, I really like this perfume, you can fire back to me on social media and say, well, what is it that you like about it? Is the price? What's the smell like? Whatever. And we can have a conversation and I can influence.
And already you're, by extension, selling that product to me.
Correct.
And or people activating trust people. Some sort of, I want to try this, isn't it?
People trust people.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are much more likely to respond to other people that they know and trust in terms of making purchase decisions.
Yeah.
And in fact, again, previously covered, but I can move you versus normal advertising, which would normally take me from awareness through to interest to purchase and so on.
Exactly,
I can take you straight from not knowing anything to actual purchase behavior.
Yeah.
So those are things.
Influencer marketing is fairly new, I think, in a structured form in South Africa. And so is employee advocacy. How are these two related?
So employee advocacy really is just a natural extension of the brand advocacy program that I've just been speaking of.
Okay.
And all we're doing there is, instead of finding brand advocates or brand fans and converting them into super fans and into ambassadors for ourselves, we're saying, listen, we've got this resource inside the building. We've got these people that already work for us.
Yeah.
Hopefully the majority of them are actually fans of the business as well.
Yeah.
And let's see if we can't get some of those people to actually start having positive brand conversations with their tribes about what the brand is and can be doing and some of the features of the products and the services that we might offer. Yeah. That's effectively what brand or employee advocacy is in a nutshell.
All right, is it huge in South Africa?
No, so it's
because if there's one thing I know about the Infinity Group is always being at the cutting edge of anything. So is it huge, or you guys are right at the forefront of pioneering
this? No, I think we're right at the front of this.
All right.
We draw our pedigree from the fact that we've been doing influencer marketing and brand. So both.
Okay, so this become natural extension.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think what's nice about the way that where we are able to position ourselves is that we have all of the back end requirements to have a successful campaign.
Okay.
All of those disciplines and the tech at the back end we have
is all there.
It's all already structured and built, and we've already paid school fees on that.
Yeah.
So we have the ability now to take those learnings and apply it in employee advocacy arena.
And what would you say are the biggest benefits of using your existing employees as a channel to drive your brand?
Those benefits range from really hard returns and benefits to some softer issues.
Yeah.
On the harder side, on the hard metrics side, you'll have the ability to actually measure, for example, the amount of marketing value created through the communications that your staff are putting out.
Yeah.
So that's because it's going out into a marketing type space, if you like. It's getting eyeballs on it that are relevant to your business, and that has a value for the business, and you can measure that. It's very hard, and that moves across through to maybe something slightly less tangible, which is incoming leads. Leads that are coming in sales, which are ultimately converted as a result of having been visible through an employee advocacy program.
Yeah,
right through to less tangible benefits, but still very real and important benefits, like, for example, the ability to upskill your staff on how to behave on social media, the ability for those staff themselves to create and build professional profiles for themselves in an affected type of online scene, as well as for the business engagement. You know, this is a line where we spoke in the beginning of this discussion about not being allowed to really talk about things. Here we have the ability to get staff really involved and become engaged in the business and start having conversations for the business on behalf of the business with their tribes.
Yeah.
And that sense of involvement and engagement, as any HR professional will tell you, is a really important factor in a positive culture within an organization.
I guess at this point in my head, what's the greatest way to get 100% buy-in from those employees? Because I think they need to be on board completely, or otherwise this won't work at all.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And so what our program does is we don't try and co-opt every single staff member.
No bribes.
Into this, no. So for starters, you absolutely, in any organization, unfortunately, most of the time you're going to find a few lemons and a few, you know, disgruntled or whatever, just people are there because, you know, come to work to get their salary and go home, and they're not really interested in providing anything more than that.
Yeah.
So what our program does, though, is it looks for part of the program is actually identifying the right people to
be on. So people that are already converted.
Correct. So we're looking for people who already having already positive energy in the workplace.
Okay.
Obviously, we would also look at, for example, sales staff in a sales arena, because that's really where those people really start making having conversations that, with that their client potential interface. Clients. But not exclusively with sales. You know? We'll always have, for example, there's a PA in the organization who is the most vocal, vibrant person and biggest brand ambassador you could find.
Yeah.
Why not take somebody like that and deploy her into a place?
Yeah.
And then also importantly, what our program does is we would make sure that senior management is not only buys into the program, but actually participates in the program.
Okay.
Because that really helps set the example. It helps, there's a little bit of friendly competition because everyone doesn't want to be shown up by the senior member, and likewise the senior member doesn't want to be shown up with the junior member, so that actually also just helps create a little of a snowball effect in terms of the activity that the guys participate in.
Alright, the nice thing about an idea like this is it's one of those that we call a no-brainer idea, where you're like, but that's natural, it should happen. But have you had instances where even after having spoken to a client and they're like, but maybe it won't work, or it won't work?
Yeah, so we've spoken about it, that it's a fairly new marketing tool, if you like, that we're bringing to people. So the first thing that we're having to do is an education process.
Of course,
Like this discussion we're having now, we have to educate people. What is this? Why do we do it? What are the benefits? And so on. We have those discussions.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the other challenge, if you like, is budgeting, and not from the point of view that people don't see the benefit for it, but there is no budget for it because it hasn't existed previously. So where does it come from? Is this marketing or HR? And so those discussions have to happen internally, and the money to be found. And then the other common comebacks, and perhaps I've gone a little bit off topic because no one's really come back and said, no, we don't need this. Everyone's looking and say, absolutely, to your point, it's a no-brainer.
Right. Okay.
It's about how do we implement it. And often a business will say, well, we can do it ourselves. And we say, no, well, that's fine. You can probably do it yourself. But good luck with that, because who are you going to do it? If you're going to give it to an HR person, is it like, how is it going to be done? Is a marketing person just adding another something on their to-do list? And so one of the USPs that we provide in our business from the internship point of view is that we provide a really, if you like, a three-part holistic offering.
All right.
The first part is that we provide the training. So the social media training, how to do these things, how to post online, how to get people that you would like to be have their eyes on your content, how to connect with them, how to
so
make
the
sure
nice
that
thing is these people are already doing this, but you're taking on to the next level, which
correct.
Is valuable.
Correct.
Yeah.
Targeting the right people.
The right people,
And making sure that those people are having eyes on your activity and on your business.
Yeah.
So the training is vitally important.
Yeah.
And to be honest, there are companies out there that do their training.
Yeah.
But often then they'll walk away.
Okay, all right.
What we then do, that's the second component, is that we then mentor the whole process through. So every month, we will provide the people that have been selected. We spoke about the selection process. We will provide them with some little bit of nudging, a little bit of motivation, and some ideas on how and what to post.
Yeah.
We don't script it, very importantly, because it needs to be authentic and it needs to come from them.
Yeah.
They're speaking to their people, and they need to speak in their language.
Yeah.
So we don't script it, but we might choose a theme. So if I was a motor manufacturer, for example, and I was bringing out a new vehicle, I'd say, guys, talk about a really cool feature about the new Model X that we're bringing out. Tell your people about that, as an example. So that would be something that they would do in their own voice. We certainly, the marketing department might provide photographs and stats and things like that.
All right.
But it's really left up to those individuals to put it out in their own terms.
Okay. You know, you bring a very cool, sorry to disturb you, you bring a very cool notion and point to the table. Doesn't that automatically then improve the brand's customer service?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it automatically does it, but I mean, it certainly, again, it helps, because, again, I go back to this engagement thing. You can imagine somebody who's pushing out something proudly about their new product or service, whatever happens.
Yeah.
And if they got an incoming phone call from somebody about that,
yeah,
immediately those people are feeling much more connected. They know what's going on. They've been given information from the company which may previously have just been lying around,
and
either didn't get it or they had to go and find it by osmosis. Now they're actually getting, becoming involved, which is a really key component, you know. You know, we're talking about millennials and younger coming through in a workplace.
All right.
And that workforce is much more desirous of being connected and sharing, and wanting to be
out. Spending a lot of time online. Yeah. And that's so, where all the value is.
Correct.
The day, isn't it?
So yeah, absolutely. If you by tying them in or creating programs.
Yeah.
Which effectively connect with their own value sets and their desires and stuff. Immediately, you're going to, it has to have a positive effect.
Yeah. What's the global trend in terms of employee advocacy?
So very much overseas, and when I say overseas, I'm talking about in Europe and in the States. If you read this, it's a massive business.
Yeah.
So what we're doing in South Africa at the moment is we're focusing. Initially, probably a little bit more in the business-to-business sector,
okay,
because those are the difficult eyeballs to reach and expensive eyeballs to reach. But if you look at overseas, they've got huge campaigns or programs running in. So Vodafone, for example, in the UK has got 300 employees on their program. So it's a massive program within the organization.
That's quite.
It's creating critical mass in terms of marketing return.
Yeah.
So the one thing, just to finish my conversation on the three elements.
Yeah,
the third element then would be the technology, the measurement technology, combined with reporting, and the tech as well. There are companies out there that can provide you with technology to measure activity.
Yeah.
But again, without the impetus, the handholding, the mentoring, the guidance, generally that's going to fall flat.
Yeah.
And what our program does with those three components is that it really is a full house component, which over a process of 6 to 12 months, hopefully will embed the whole notion of employee advocacy into the business.
Yeah.
And the individuals involved will then themselves become mentors and teachers of the next coming through.
All right.
And then we can always deploy the tech at the back end, if you like, then to help them to help measure. And then measuring thing is important, by the way, because it not just measures what I spoke about, for example, the hard return and media value, but it also looks at how well the guys are doing relative to their peers in the business. So you create a bit of friendly competition. We don't do this. Very, very importantly for us, employee advocacy is not something which is a KPI, so it can never be something which is linked to your job requirements.
Okay, all right, okay.
It's got to be fun, it's got to
exactly.
It's got to be something I want to do, and again, that goes back to selecting the right people. You want to drag people on, so looking for the right people.
Yeah.
And also then, I mean, if you want to incentivize people, for example, with, cappuccino inverted commas, best person in the month or whatever it is, that's fine. But it should never be hard rewards or hard KPIs either.
Okay.
It's got to have its own kind of natural energy, if you like.
Exactly.
And we measure them. We also measure the people on a monthly basis on five simple steps. For example, how good is their biography looking? So how is it relevant? Is it updated where it needs to be updated? How well are people doing their posts?
Yeah.
So when we prompt them to do a post, are they doing those posts? What kind of engagement rates are they getting from those posts? In other words, what the quality of that post?
All right.
And then supporting your tribe. So if you and I are in an employee advocacy program together and you post something, how well did I actually support you? I liked it and commented, so well done, Cindy. That's a great, you really highlighted the neat aspect of this radio. I like about the radio is that it can do this kind of thing as well. So it's about that. And then also about how well have you grown your network with relevant eyeballs. Those are the five elements that we look at.
All right, and going forward, do you see this mainstreaming and becoming a part of every marketing plan?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no reason. There's, I mean, mean, obviously, I was still like a salesperson, but I, you know, there's really very little logic to say why it shouldn't.
It shouldn't, yeah.
People are going to talk anyway. Social media is here anyway. We either embrace it or we get left behind.
Yeah, exactly.
So from that point of view, we need to embrace it.
Yeah.
And I think importantly as well, you know, we've spoken, obviously there's some cost involved in terms of putting this program together.
Yeah.
But after that 6 months, year program, you've created a return in perpetuity. There's that, it's the gift that keeps on giving, if you like,
yes,
after you've embedded the cult as a culture in your organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Kevin from the internship. Let's go out and enjoy a cup of coffee and maybe continue this conversation.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, sir. For everybody else, please download this and other episodes on Spotify and iTunes. We love you, but we have to leave you. Thank you, sir.
Cheers.